Bibles, and we're going to be going on our series again with Bible Characters with a Cause. This is number 6, I believe, and let's go to 1 Kings chapter 3. Now, we could have, and normally would have done David. Of course, he was a man who had a great cause and gave us our phrase for the theme this year, Is There Not a Cause? But we already preached a whole sermon about that and about David and how he lived at the cause. And so I thought we would just move over David, and we've been just going just here and there, starting from the start of the Bible and picking out some people. We're not doing everybody in the Bible, certainly, who maybe had a cause, but just some major characters and some that stand out. 1 Kings 3. Today we're doing Solomon. Solomon, 1 Kings and chapter 3. And verse 3, it says, And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father. Only he sacrificed and burned incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, Ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness, and thou hast given him for a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. I am but a little child, I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of a great people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Grant, therefore, thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great, thy so great a people? And this speech pleased the Lord, and Solomon, that Solomon had asked this thing, and God said unto him, Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor asked the life of thine enemies, but ask for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words, and lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart. So there shall be none like thee before thee, neither shall there be any like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we pray you'd help us to gain the knowledge and the wisdom. May we be people who understand causes and purposes and directions and in life. May thy spirit please speak to us and give us understanding of the word, and then give us understanding hearts as you gave Solomon. And also apply the word powerfully to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We find about Solomon here, the first thing is I want to mention is Solomon had a great cause even though he came from bad circumstances. He had a great cause even though he had came from bad circumstances. Let me go back to 2 Samuel and chapter 12. Understand, if you don't know where Solomon came from his mom Bathsheba and his dad David, but David and Bathsheba were not supposed to be together. Bathsheba was married to another man, a virtuous man named Uriah, and David committed adultery with Bathsheba, and they are both in the wrong. She should never have come to his place. She should never have said yes. She shouldn't have been taking any bath out on a rooftop. And David, of course, called for her. They're both in the wrong. And they committed adultery. A child was conceived. David ended up murdering Uriah. So he's trying to hide the thing. And in the end, the child they conceived died. And then they come to this point. So none of that was God's will. God's will, of course, was David didn't commit adultery, and God's will was Uriah and Bathsheba had a family. But that's not the way it worked out. And this world's pretty complicated. And it's pretty complicated out there now and in this society. And But it says there in 2 Samuel, in chapter 12, and we see verse 13, it says, David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord hath put away thy sin, and thou shalt not die. So he sinned. It was in a bad situation. Verse 24, and David comforted Bathsheba his wife, and went unto her and lay with her. And she bare a son, and called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him. And that's interesting. Of course, God loves everybody. John 3:16. But sometimes God makes a special note so you know how God felt. And so you see that. And God specifically says, I love Solomon. Not that, just so we'd always know for all generations, just because humans might say this was an accident, or this was bad, or this is illegitimate. And I've never liked that term for a child, illegitimate. Every human's legitimate. I don't like that phrase necessarily. I understand what they mean, but it's not a good term. I don't like it. But that child was loved by God, and God made a plan for him, and God made him a king and the wisest man who'd ever lived. And that accident, or whatever you want to call Solomon, wrote a lot of scripture. Can you imagine that? He wrote the book of Proverbs. He wrote the book of Songs of Solomon. He wrote scripture. That's amazing. I want to say that, and by the way, though I wasn't supposed to be conceived, God makes a plan. When humans mess up, God is still a God of grace and power, and has the ability to work things out, has the ability to plan things that and give a great cause to someone who wasn't even supposed to be there. I want to say, in life, understand that. That's why you don't give up on somebody. That's why you don't think somebody can ever be turned around or never change. Listen, God makes a plan for somebody when they're conceived. Now, whether they fulfill that plan, whether they do God's will for them for their life, they do have free will. If they didn't have free will, David wouldn't have impregnated Bathsheba in the first place. Man, all over the Bible has free will. We understand that. But listen, God can use anybody and make them very useful and wonderful and give them a cause. And you are important, and God knows about you, and he formed your members. And so it's great to see that. And it's so good to know that. And by the way, these petty, nasty parents many times speak those words to their kids and wound their kids deeply, saying you're an accident, I wish you'd never been born, and all these things that bad, immature and foolish parents say that are harmful to kids. They do that stuff. And some kids grow up with that, and though they might hate their parents and despise their parents, those words still affect them until they realize and they get close to God and realize God has a plan for them. And God gave a cause to Solomon that was a wonderful cause, and it was a great cause and amazing things. So he had a cause, even though he came from bad circumstances. Solomon's cause was to take over David's throne in godliness and build the temple. To take over David's throne, his father, and lead the people in godliness and keep the nation godly, and to build God's temple. That's a pretty big couple of causes there. Of course, we could add into that writing some scripture. But we talk about being given a cause. Build the temple where God will live on earth. Well, it's a glorious building in the history of the world, probably. To take over God's nation, who's the apple of God's eye. The Lord picks you to do that and write his eternal word for him on earth. Boy, isn't that a great thing. What a cause Solomon had. And what great things he did. And so number one, he had a great cause, even though it came from bad circumstances. Number two, God's plan thwarts man's evil devices. God's plan thwarts man's evil devices. Let me just look at 1 Kings chapter 1. I was going to show you where God called Solomon to be the king. God said, told David, Solomon's going to be the king instead. Solomon was not the right order. First, David had Absalom, and Absalom rebelled and was killed. But then, remember, in monarchies in the Bible days, everything was firstborn. But every once in a while, God would not do the firstborn thing. Sometimes the blessing was passed on to the secondborn or whatever. In this case, Solomon wasn't the secondborn, and he was down the line. And the real one who would have inherited, Adonijah, decided when David was just about dead and David was very weak and not paying any attention to the kingdom, he decided, all right, I'm king, I'm taking over. And he made a conspiracy and he got some very important people, including Joab, one of David's right-hand generals, and others, to follow him. And Adonijah was going to take over, even though God had told David Solomon is going to be the king to take over for his thing, for the throne there. And in 1 Kings and chapter 1, and let's look at verse 30. It says, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly thy son Solomon shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead, and even so I will certainly do this day. So that was a plan. But Adonijah had raised up some people, and if you look at verse 5, it says, and Adonijah the son of Haggith exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared for him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, why hast thou done so? And he also had a very goodly was a very goodly man. And his mother bare him after Absalom, so he's secondborn. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abathar, the priest. And by the way, Abathar was a man who gave David great counsel. And they following Adonijah helped him. So he's taken over. David didn't stop him. He's got some chariots and soldiers and horsemen and a priest that's very and Joab, who are very high people in the nation, and he's taken over. And Solomon's very young, just an old child basically. And David's not dead yet, and so nothing's happened to Solomon. And now this guy looks like he's got it, and they're marching around saying Adonijah's king, but God has another plan. And fortunately, though it looked very bad for Solomon, then Solomon wasn't old enough to defend himself or make a plan or do anything else. God's sovereignty can still thwart man's evil devices. And so God raised up some other important people. Verse 8, but Zadok the priest and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada and Nathan the prophet and Shimei and Rei and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and the fat cattle by the stone of Zohoyath, which is by Enrogel, and called all his brethren, the king's sons, and the men of Judah and the king's servants. So we have Nathan the prophet, of course, and Bathsheba, Solomon's mom, and David's wife, and Zeruiah the prophet. They all help him. And so in the end, Nathan makes a plan, and Bathsheba goes to David, and basically says, honey, and then it's over. And he says, honey, didn't you say that Solomon's going to reign? And David's on his deathbed and old, and he says, yes. And he says, well, Adonijah's taken over, and nobody's stopping him, and what's going to happen here? And then Nathan comes in, and of course Nathan says the same things as her. One says first, then the other, and they go to him. And we see verse 30 and or verse 29. The king said, "Swear and said, as the Lord liveth, and that hath redeemed my soul out of all distress, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord, God of Israel, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead. Even so, certainly he will this day." And then verse 32, and David called said, call me Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada. And they came before the king, and the king said unto them, take you the servants of your Lord, and cause Solomon my son to ride upon my own mule, and bring him down to Gibeon, and let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him there king over Israel, and blow you with the trumpets, and say, God save King Solomon. So David stood up and did his job, and David announced that. And of course, Adonijah heard about it and came very scared and hid. and all these things. And why? Because God had a plan. God worked it out. I want to say this. Just please God, and God can figure out all the things. Your life cannot be ruined with God in charge of your life. I understand you can have people who go against you, people who try to thwart you. They can, probably if I asked how many of you had somebody who didn't like you try to get you fired at your job, probably a lot of you probably would say, yeah, that happened to me. A neighbor tried to get you kicked out. I want to say, if you're in the world and not serving the Lord, then hey, you're in trouble and everything can overtake you and all kinds of things can happen. But when you're serving the Lord, I mean, God has a plan and your heart is toward the Lord. God, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You have a sovereign God who can keep you just fine. That's why you don't need to get bitter. Because nobody's going to ruin your life. They might do stuff. They might even and God might even allow some of the stuff they do to happen to you. He let his son die on the cross, but it was in victory. Okay? And people who were his enemies seemed to triumph, but they weren't triumphing. God's got a plan, and the Lord can stop all of man's evil devices. Let me take you to just a few verses on this. Proverbs chapter 19. In other words, you'll be all right. You'll be fine. Don't worry too much about it. It's okay. Let them do their thing, and don't lower yourself to their level of bitterness and pettiness. You do your life, and you live your life, and please God. He can figure it all out. He can fix it. He can straighten them all out. Pretty soon, Adonijah was begging mercy. And everything was fine, and Solomon and the whole nation united under him, even though it looked really bad, because God's in control. Proverbs 19, verse 21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. There's many devices in a man's heart, but the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. If God's got something for you, then man can't stop it. Proverbs 16 and verse 7. It says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace at him. God can do many things. He can destroy your enemies. He can make your enemies be at peace with you, and it doesn't even make sense. He can change everything. He can humble people very quickly. I think of J. Frank Norris, and he was an amazing pastor. He pastored the two largest churches in America at the same time. And amazing man. And he was a fighter. And he had battles everywhere he went. He was so dynamic and so had such influence. Literally, that he was one of the cities he was in was Detroit. The other one was Dallas at the same time. And he was so influential that the front page of the Dallas Morning News and the main Detroit newspaper, the front page every Monday was his printed out sermon. That's how much influence he had. Okay, and he had so many enemies, and they would try to destroy him. And he would preach on anybody and anything. And if it was a crooked politician, he'd call him out in the pulpit. And I mean, he was just a fighter, and he had people. I mean, trying everything to destroy him and stop him and end him. And he stayed his whole life in the pulpit and preached the word of God and had a great influence and did great things for God. But one of the people who was fighting against him and was spreading all kinds of nasty things and was supposed to be a real spiritual man who was just an enemy of his fighting against him died in a terrible car wreck. And one of the deacons of J. Frank Norris's church just had me driving by in this accident. The man's car was full of alcohol. But he was acting like he's a real godly man. But he was driving drunk. Terrible accident. Was killed. And literally, shards of glass going through his whole body from this accident. And saw that. And that battle ended. I wouldn't have done what J. Frank Norris did, but the man brought one of the broken bottles with the man's brains back to J. Frank Norris, and J. Frank Norris preached with that bottle in his hand on the wages of sin is death. That's J. Frank Norris. Now, I wouldn't do that. But it makes other enemies not go after you quite as much afterward, I guess. But you know what? God can bring people at peace with you. He can humble them who are after you. He can exalt you. He can make them go away. He can have them a job transfer. He can do anything he wants. There's many devices in a man's heart. The counsel of the Lord, that stands. Just relax and trust the Lord. Proverbs 16 and verse 7, we read that one. Let's look at Isaiah 54. People get so stressed out about their enemies destroy them, not by what they meant to destroy them with. They destroy them because they get so consumed with their enemies, now unfair it is, now wrong they are, and they just lower themselves in bitterness and in pettiness and in fighting to that other person's level. And that other person destroyed you. You let them because you became like them. Instead of just moving on and having a happy life. The best revenge is a happy life. Isaiah and 54 in verse 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. There's no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Just please God. Do the right thing. Let them just, it's okay. You know, don't worry too much. God's plans thwarts evil, men's evil devices, and Solomon still became king. Even though Solomon never defended himself. He wasn't old enough to defend himself. And God took care of it. Number three, he did not fulfill his cause without God-given help. Let me take it to 2 Chronicles. He did not fulfill his cause without God-given help. God uses people. I'm sorry, 1 Chronicles 22:5. 1 Chronicles 22 and verse 5. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent. Of fame and of glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. Boy, that's a good thing. Just one example. See, Solomon came in and he got old enough and it was time to build a temple of God. And the workmen and the materials and many things were already ready. See, God will give you people to help you. And don't be like I've been way too many times, is a person who cannot let people help you and participate and let God use people to help you. It's very difficult for some people to do that. Listen, if God sends someone along, don't refuse someone who gave a blessing to you and whatever cause God has given you. And God will raise people up, and they'll come along, and they'll have the resources or the knowledge. And do not be so proud, or do not be so control freakish, whatever the word would be for that. And that you can't let someone who wants to be a blessing have the blessing of being a part of a great cause. Let people give. Let people help. And I want to say this. Understand, in every great cause, it takes a lot of God's people. Participate in great causes. You know, if someone gets saved today, if you gave, if you prayed, if you greeted them, you're all part of them getting saved. They might get saved, we would say, because of the message God spoke to their heart. But understand, they might have come into church and nobody said hi to them. And they might have sat there and said, I'm not going to let these people are rude. Because you greeted them. Their heart was more open because you gave. We're in this building because you went and maybe you're the one who knocked on the door and put a track on the door. Talk to them sometime. It takes a lot of people to do a great cause, and so be a part of great causes and help people to do it. Even though David didn't build the temple and he wanted to, by the way, God said, "No, you're not the one. Your son Solomon will build it for me." David said, that's okay. Let me just prepare as much as I can and make it as easy for him as I can make it. Boy, isn't that a different generation compared to the generation where it's all about my kids and how happy can they make me. And living, and these parents who live in pleasure for themselves and don't care how it impacts the children and live their lives about what they want to watch and what they want to do, not caring how it's going to impact their children and children's children. They're just thinking about their own comfort and what they like doing. Selfishness. Yet Solomon was helped by his dad, who was never alive when Solomon was building the temple. He did not fulfill his cause without God-given help. Next, he pleased the Lord, and the Lord gave him the ability to fulfill the cause. Let's go back to our text, 1 Kings 3. He pleased the Lord, and the Lord gave him the ability to fulfill the cause. 1 Kings 3. In verse 3, and Solomon loved the Lord. He loved God. In verse 5, in Gibeah, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I will give thee. God said, hey, what do you want? And so Solomon could have asked for a million things, and God, I think his expectations, although he had foresight, he says the expectations were probably pretty low. Most humans, you ask them what I'll give you, it's not, give me wisdom so I could lead your people in godliness. I'm doing too young for this. But Solomon prayed and said, God, verse 9, give me therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may be discerned between good and bad. For who is able to judge such great people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. God said, because thou hast asked this thing and not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor asked for the life of thine enemies. But you see God just progressively saying, you know, humans don't always ask for the best things. Kill my enemies, make me rich. Is there anything else I could ask for? That's it. And that's kind of what God expected. And yet God, the Lord said, Solomon, I am very pleased you asked for wisdom to know what's right and wrong and to lead my people. He said, I'm pleased with that. You know what God did? God said, I'm going to give you understanding greater than anybody, he says. He says, verse 12, behold, I have done according to thy words, and lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so there shall be none like before thee, neither shall there be rise after thee. He says, man, you're going to be so smart, you're going to be so wise, you're going to write Proverbs. He says, I'm going to really inject in some wisdom into you. Where the Queen of Sheba will come and just lose all of her spirit and say, you are so wise, and this is so incredible. But he says, I'm not just going to do that. I'm going to do some things that are above and beyond. I'm going to make you wealthy. And they were bringing gold and silver and jewels and treasures from around the world to Solomon until they couldn't find anywhere to store them anymore. They were bringing so much. And so much wealth came in to build a temple. They finally said, stop. We have more than enough. We can't handle anymore. He got wealth and riches and honor, and God gave him peace all around about him. His enemies just bowed down. You know why? Because his ways pleased God, and God just worked everything out. I watch people scheme and connive and try to manipulate everything on earth. Watch that. I watch so many people who never get what they really want because they live their life just trying to find some sneaky way to get what they want so bad. And to get their way, they try to manipulate authority. They try to manipulate people around them. They try to sneak into it. They try to bend and justify and connive in every possible way. I just say, you know, you need to stop trying to get what you want and try to get what God wants. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things are added unto you. Stop it. Just please God. Solomon got everything he could have ever asked for because he sought God's will. He sought to please the Lord. And the Lord says, hey, you please me. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Please God, and God will take care of everything else you need. He's a good father. And so it worked out great for him. He pleased the Lord, and God gave him that ability to fulfill that cause. He was able to be this great king with all the wisdom. He was able to build the temple. Why? He pleased God. And he had the great cause in mind. He said, I want wisdom to lead this nation right. And God gave him that. And he was able to do that. Next, there is great joy, honor, and blessing in fulfilling a great cause from the Lord. 1 Kings 7 and verse 51. There is great joy, honor, and blessing in fulfilling a great cause for the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 7. And verse 51, it says, so was ended the work that King Solomon had made for the house of the Lord. And Solomon brought the things which David his father had dedicated, even the silver and the gold and the vessels, and he put them among the treasures of the house of the Lord. Chapter 8, verse 10, it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, and that the priests could not stand to minister of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. Can you imagine? I thought so many times how funny it is. You ever worked on something and they said, okay, now I got to try to start it or drive it or turn it on? I wonder if this will work. I remember the shuttle, the brakes. I don't know if it's the shuttle or the other shuttle. The brakes went out and the church was just broke. And I said, man, I've got to fix these things. And there's no money to fix them. So I'm going to figure it out myself. And I had no idea to do these. They was just giant oversized brakes, and they were hooked on differently than the car and everything else. And I said, oh man, I'm gonna do this. And so one of the calipers locked up, and I put a new caliper on. I don't know how to do it, so I worked on it, and man, it was hard, and I couldn't figure it out. It was strange and different, never did anything. It was just so much different than a regular brake. And I put that thing on, I just couldn't get it back on right. And finally I got that thing on, and it felt way too tight, and I thought, I got to drive this thing. It doesn't feel right. It's just too tight. And I got it, and I drove it, and I started driving it. I felt it was wrong, and I could tell it was just, and I thought, man, it's just those brakes are still squeezing on that thing. And I thought, maybe they'll loosen up a little bit, drive a little farther, and I wasn't very smart. And I drove up my street. By the time I realized I've got it, and I started smelling brake just terrible. By the time it was, I mean, it was getting bad and smoking bad. I get back to my house to go working again. I hop out of the thing and the brake is on fire. And off I run in to grab a fire extinguisher. My wife says, what's going on, honey? Oh, nothing. And off I run to the fire extinguisher and put it out and wait for it to cool down and start again. And okay, here we go. Let's try it and see if it works. And Solomon builds this incredible temple for trillions of dollars. And now he's like, okay, let's hope God really likes it and shows up. And then God's, a cloud of the glory of God descends on it, and God is pleased and dwells there. And he's saying, praise the Lord. The joy of God being there and the joy of God dwelling there. Chapter 8 and verse 66. It says this, and on the eighth day he sent the people away, and they blessed the king and went into their tents joyful and glad of heart for all the goodness that the Lord had done for David his servant and for Israel his people. Verse 2 of chapter 9, and the Lord appeared unto Solomon a second time as he appeared in Gibeon. And the Lord said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and thy supplication that thou hast made before me. I have hallowed this place which thou hast built, and my name shall... to put my name there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Boy, you talk about a blessing. You talk about great fulfilling the cause. But one of the things that when we do these amazing mission trips and great things happen, and I'm there and I try to take a lot of pictures and show you, but it's so hard to show you just what great things we were able to do to another country. And it's hard to just explain that and let you know it's so great to be part of a great cause. It's amazing. It's wonderful. And it's great to be a part of that. Listen, you could sit around and watch TV and surf your life away and game your life away and just live like the typical American and get through your life and breathe a lot of oxygen and exhale a lot of CO2, and that was your life. Or you can find some great causes whether God gives it to you or gives it to someone you're involved with and you get behind it, either way, you accomplish great things in your life. Hey, Avin, didn't you waste enough of your life doing nothing? Get behind great causes. This church has unbelievable causes. God has great causes, and it's joyful and it's great to see the victory that comes when you are part of something great. It's a wonderful life to live. It's fulfilling. Last of all, I want to say, and unfortunately, we have to end on that note, is destruction came because he was sidetracked from his cause. What was his cause? Anybody? Build a temple. Take over David's throne. Keep the nation godly. Serve the Lord. Right, scripture? Look at chapter 9. Just after God said, I'm going to do these great things with you, he says, if, verse 4, if you walk before me, verse 5, then I'll establish the kingdom. But go forward to chapter 11. But King Solomon, verse 1, loved many strange women. Together with the daughter of Pharaoh, that's forbidden. Women of the Moabites, forbidden, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord has said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go unto them, neither shall they come unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their God. And Solomon clave unto these and loved, in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. And for this cause, for it came to pass when Solomon is old, that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord as was the heart of David his father. Verse 6, Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord as did David his follower. Then did Solomon build an high place to Chemoth, the abomination of Moab, and so forth. He began to build idol temples and commit idolatry. Verse 9, the Lord is angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel. And he built these evil things and did all these things. Wherefore, verse 11, the Lord said to Solomon, forasmuch as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my commandment and my statutes, which I commanded thee, I will surely rend thy kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. And he said, I will give you an everlasting habitation. I will dwell here forever. But God said, okay, I'm undoing all that. You lost your cause by women. And it just so happened that Solomon, it was women, that was what turned his heart away. He lost his cause and he became consumed with women. Well, yeah, 700 wives and, you know, I guess you're distracted. Don't remember all the birthdays. Like one day he wakes up and says, there's no wife's birthdays today, yay! And like he had several on the same day or something, and he was distracted off, and some people it's money, and some people it's whatever. You get distracted from great causes. Your life should be cause-driven. And there's other things in your life, and there is, yes, you have a family, and you should be close to your family, and that's part of one of your causes, to raise a great family, and all those things. But listen, you get your mind off your cause and sidetracked with other things. And I can tell you, I have seen things that weren't bad things. I want to repeat that. Things that weren't bad things distract people from their cause in life, which is serving the Lord. I've seen people's children take them away from God. They were so distracted that the child had a health issue, and all of a sudden, they needed to stay home all the time. They couldn't go to church. And then watch the family. I watched a family like that when a child got a little sickness, and it was a sickness, and it was to be in the hospital, but the child was going to live a life and everything. And they got paranoid and said, we got to stay at home all the time. I said, listen, I said, go to church, serve the Lord. Your child, if you need them to sit with you, it's fine. Oh no, you don't understand, my child, they're sick. And they got obsessed with their child's health. You ever seen somebody get obsessed with a weird health thing and it kind of makes them weird? And they couldn't go to church. Hate to say this, tell you this, but that family's divorced, on drugs. That child's growing up in a disaster situation. Why? Because something, just anything, and take care of your children. Yes. Your job's important, but your job should not be your life's purpose. And if it takes you away from God, if your career is so important to you, you can't go to church, you got issues. Don't let something on the side, something that's part of life, make become your life where you lose your purpose in life. You've got important, the devil will try to sidetrack you with a thousand different things, and some of them aren't bad. But whatever it is, you got to stay on track. Your life is about seeking God's kingdom first, and eternity, and the Lord, and things not seen, and not this world that pulls our minds, yet it always distracts us. Solomon lost his cause. But while he had a cause, he did great things, had a great life. When he lost his cause, he got in big trouble. And so we should learn from that also. That's a good thing to learn. All right, let's pray. Father, we pray you bless the service to follow. Thank you for the ability to learn. A person who did great with a cause and did terrible when he was distracted and had his heart turned away from the cause. And Lord, the nation wasn't well afterward. We just pray you'd help us to seek your kingdom first and stay focused on you. And we just pray you bless all the service to follow, the kids' classes, and everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed for about 11 minutes.